This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I have a sense. الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 27 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1445 الموافق ل 11 من شهر ديسمبر 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله Ta'ala, we continue from where we stopped last week. I guess we talk about Huku Faslun Man Haka Allahu Anhu Al-Ishq. Those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them being tested with the Ishq. Yeah. So we mentioned the first one, those sisters with Yusuf alayhi salam. And the second people, they are the people of Lut alayhi salam, Qawm Lut. So I believe last week we talked about this, the qissa, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. So يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله وهذا داء أعيا الأطباء أعيا الأطباء دواؤه وعز عليهم شفاؤه وهو العمر الله الداء العضال والسم القتال الذي علق بقلب ما علق بقلب إلا وعز على الوراء استنقاذه من إساره ولاستعلت ناره بمهجته إلا وصعبت على الخلق تخليصها من ناره وهو أقسام. Ibn Qayyim says this sickness, he says أعي الأطباء دواؤه. The remedy for this sickness was Aziz. Very difficult to be found. The medical doctors, they couldn't find any reasonable treatment for this type of diseases. And also they couldn't find any reasonable way for them to be able to heal the person who is tested by this. And Ibn Qayyim swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this sickness is one of the worst type of diseases and worst type of poison that kills. And this sickness is a sickness that never get into the heart of a person illa wa'azza al-wara istinqadhu. Never become enslaved. Any heart that is enslaved by this, it will be very difficult for the humankind to be able to get him out of this problem. And also, whenever it is mixed with the heart, the fire of this sickness is mixed with the heart, he said it will be very difficult for the humankind to be able to cool the fire down. Basically, Ibn al-Qayyim is telling you that this is one of the worst type of diseases that can ever affect the heart. And if a person is affected by it, it will be very difficult for the doctors to give him medicine for that. They will not be able to give him any reasonable and cure that can have impact on that disease. قَالَ هُوَ أَقْسَامٌ فَإِنَّهُ تَارَةً يَكُونُ كُفْرًا كَمَنْ اتَّخَذَ مَعْشُوقَهُ نِدًّا. He said this sickness is anwa. Anwa means we have different types of it. فَإِنَّهُ تَارَةً يَكُونُ كُفْرًا. Sometimes it will be kufr. كَمَنْ اتَّخَذَ مَعْشُوقَهُ نِدًّا يحبه كَمَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهِ. Like the one who takes that whom he loves in that way, niddan lillah, as a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way he loves them, just like the way he loves Allah, or even more. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا كَانَتْ مَحَبَّتُهُ أَعْظَمْ بِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. So if he loves, like the way he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is shirk. So what if this person loves that ma'shuq actually more than the way he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? كانت محبته أعظم من محبة الله في قلبه. He loves this معشوق more than the way he loves Allah سبحانه وتعالى in his heart. فهذا عشق لا يغفر لصاحبه. This is the عشق that Allah سبحانه وتعالى doesn't forgive somebody who is involved in it. If he dies, of course, like that, without repenting, Allah will not forgive him. فإنه من أعظم الشرك. Because this is one of the worst type of shirk. Shirk al-mahabba, if you remember, we said it's the worst type of shirk. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَإِنَّمَا يَغْفِرُ بِالتَّوْبَةِ الْمَاحِيَةِ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive anyone who commits shirk against him, unless if that person repents. You know, unless if that person repents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them the sin. After the repentance. يَغْفِرْ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ الْمَحْيَةُ لِمَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. So if a person repents, Allah will forgive the sin. Get it? مَا دُونَ الشِّرْكِ. If a person repents, Allah will remove it. If a person doesn't repent, he will be based on the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the mashia of Allah. Let's say a person is committing the major sins, and he did not manage to repent until death. This person will be under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, he will forgive. If Allah doesn't want, he will punish him according to the nature of the sins. But shirk, if a person dies committing shirk, he will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. There is no way for a mushrik to get mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he meets him in that shirk. قال وعلامة هذا العشق الشركي الكفري أن يقدم العاشق رضا معشوقه على رضا ربه. One of the signs of this عشق الكفري, the one that is described as كفر and shirk, is to have this person favoring the maradi of the one whom he loves more than the way he favors what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Meaning, if there is contradiction between what he wants, what that ma'shuq wants and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he will go to what the ma'shuq wants. وَإِذَا تَعَارَضَ عِنْدَهُ حَقُّ مَعْشُوقِهِ وَحَظُّهُ وَحَقُّ رَبِّهِ وَطَاعَتُهُ قَدَّمَ حَقَّ مَعْشُوقِهِ عَلَى حَقِّ رَبِّهِ وَآثَرَ رِضَاهُ عَلَى رِضَاهُ. So if there are two rights contradict each other in front of him, right of Allah and the right of the ma'shuq, he will obviously favor the haq of the ma'shuq, not haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pleasure of ma'shuq is better for him than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ وَبَذَلَ لِمَعْشُوقِهِ أَنفَسَ مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَبَذَلَ لِرَبِّهِ إِن بَذَلَ أَرْدَعَ مَا عِنْدَهُ. You will see him always giving the ma'shuq أَنفَسَ مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ, the best, the most valuable thing he can afford getting, he will give it to the ma'shuq. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the worst. If he gives, Ibn Qayyim says, if he even gives, he will give the worst to Allah. قَالَ وَاسْتَفَرَغَ وُسْعَهُ فِي مَرْضَاتِ مَعْشُوقِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ وَالتَّقَرُّبِ إِلَيْهِ وَجَعْلَ لِرَبِّهِ إِنْ أَطَاعَهُ الْفَضْلَةَ الَّتِي تَفْضُلُ أَنْ مَعْشُوقِهِ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. He says he will put all the effort to please and to obey the ma'shuq and to try to come closer to him. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give the worst, the balance of the time, if he has time for that. Yeah. So Ibn Qayyim is trying to tell us, you know, to let us know, what is the sign of this? How do we know that this person loves the ma'shuq more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If this person becomes a person that doesn't care, whenever, you know, that is a contradiction between what ma'shuq wants and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he would definitely go to the ma'shuq, will never go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is his life. He favored the pleasure of the ma'shuq more than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So in this case, we will be able to understand that, yes, this person is heading towards the al-ishq al-kufri, the ishq that lead to kufr. قال فتأمل حال أكثر عشاق الصور تجدها مطابقة لذلك ثم ضع حالهم في كفة وتوحيدهم إيمانهم في كفة ثم زن وزنا يرضى الله به ورسوله ويطابق العدل. He says, just try to ponder and look at the hal, the condition of the عشاق, those people who reach this position, and try and see their conditions, their status. He says, put the condition in one kiffah of the mizan and the tawheed they have in one kiffah, and see which one will be taking the preference. وَرُبَّمَا صَرَّحَ الْعَاشِقُ مِنْهُمْ بِأَنَّ وَصْلَ مَعْشُوقِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ تَوْحِيدِ رَبِّهِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He says that sometimes some of them also will actually mention openly that trying to be with the ma'shuq, trying to get connected with the ma'shuq, is actually better than the tawheed. Yeah. He's looking for this, actually better than tawheed. He doesn't care about tawheed. He cares about how to get a position with the ma'shuq. كما قال العاشق. It's stopped. Huh? This time around is not our fault, I guess. Yeah, okay. So he says, كَمَا قَالَ الْعَاشِقُ الْخَبِيثِ, just like what that عَاشِقُ الْخَبِيثِ said, the evil one. What did he say? قَالَ يَتَرَشَّفْنَ مِنْ فَمِي رَشَفَاتٍ هُنَّ أَحْلَمْ فِيهِ مِنَ التَّوْحِيدِ. أعوذ بالله. He was saying that the saliva, the balance of the saliva of the ma'shuq that remained in his mouth, he said, this is sweeter to him than the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hear that? Yeah. So he said, he is saying, and he's saying this openly to everyone, that this thing that he got from the ma'shuq is sweeter for him, better for him than the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billah. وَكَمَا صَرَّحَ الْخَبِيثُ الْآخَرَ أَنَّ وَصْلَ مَعْشُوقِهِ أَشْهَى إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ لَهُ. A'udhu billah. One of them said, actually, having that strong connection between him and the ma'shuq is better for him than the mercy of Allah. قَالَ فَإِيَّاذًا إِكَ اللَّهُمَ مِنْ هَذَا الْخُذْلَانِ. إِيوَ اللَّهِ. He says, well, يَاذُ بِاللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا. To have somebody who believes and says also that coming closer to the ma'shuq is better for him than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala wasluk ashha ila fuadi min rahmati al-khaliq al-jalil. A'udhu billah. He says, having to be connected with you is better for my heart, is sweeter for my heart than rahmat al-khaliq al-jalil, and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you call this guy? Majnun? Yeah. Wallahi, Majaneen will complain. When you call him Majnun, insane people will complain. Why do you link him to them? قال ولا ريب أن هذا العشق من أعظم الشرك وكثير من العشاق يصرح بأنه لم يبق في قلبه موضع لغير معشوقه البتة. Ibn Qayyim says there is no doubt this is the worst type of shirk, and many of them will actually openly say to others that there is no spot, no part in his heart, you know, which is not occupied by the ma'shuq, meaning Allah doesn't have anything in his heart, any place in the heart. It's always with the ma'shuq. بل قد ملك ما'shuqه عليه ملك ما'shuqه عليه قلبه كله فصار عبدا مخلصا من كل وجه لما'shuqه. He says in the way that the ma'shuq, the thing that he loved, ma'shuq means the one that he is loving, that evil kind of love, you know, control the heart, and the heart became like a slave, you know, like a slave for that mashu. فَقَدْ رَضِيَ هَذَا مِنْ عُبُودِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ جَلَّ فَقَدْ رَضِيَ هَذَا مِنْ عُبُودِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ بِعُبُودِيَةِ مَخْلُوقٍ مِثْلَهُ فَإِنَّ الْعُبُودِيَةَ هِيَ كَمَالُ الْحُبِّ وَالْخُضُوعِ وَهَذَا قَدْ اسْتَقَرَّ قُوَّةَ حُبِّهِ وَخُضُوعِهِ وَذُلِّهِ لِمَعْشُوقِهِ فَقَدْ أَعْطَاهُ حَقِيقَةَ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. Ibn Qayyim says, this guy, he agrees, you know, to replace the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the ubudiyah of the ma'shuq. How do we know that? Because he has this intensive amount of love which is supposed to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You know, and also submission. He submitted to the ma'shuq. In a way, he acts based on the interest of the ma'shuq only. How do we know that? Because he said there is no place in his heart which is not for the ma'shuq. And he says also he doesn't care. Mercy, not mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an issue with him. The most important thing is to be sure that the ma'shuq is accepting him. Yeah. So Allah salam wa al-afiyah. قال ولا نسبة بين مفسدة هذا الأمر العظيم ومفسدة الفاحشة فإن ذلك ذنب كبير لفاعله حكم أمثاله ومفسدة هذا العشق مفسدة الشرك. He said there is no even room of comparison between this and zina and liwat. You get it? Because this one is mafsada, you know, and a sin that is between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it destroys the community. But at the same time, it does not reach the level of shirk. Right? Some people commit zina, and then the person who they commit zina become humiliated person to them. And actually, this is what we have heard a lot. Yeah, we have heard this a lot, you know. After the zina being committed, that sister who submitted herself to them should be useless, worse than the shoe. Hearing all types of bad words, you know, that's how it is. And this is the the treatment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life before the akhirah. If she doesn't repent, you Allah, it doesn't bring any good, it brings dhul wa hawan in this dunya. And the one who is always getting affected in a bad way and negatively is the woman's side. Yeah. That's why you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the past. He says, وَالَّتِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ. Those who are doing the fahisha مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ, from your sisters, from the sisters among you. فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ. Look for witnesses, you know, four witnesses. فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. He says, when you have witnesses, to testify that yes, they did commit the zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ, keep them at home. حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ, until death. أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide them with a way out. That's for the sisters, right? It says, وَالَّذَانِ يَأْتِيَانِهَا مِنْكُمْ فَآذُوهُمَا فَإِنْ تَابَ وَأَصْلَحَ فَآرِضُوا عَنْهُمَا. As for the brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَآذُوهُمَا, humiliate them, embarrass them, put them in a state of, you know, humiliation. Why not keeping them at home? Yeah, because they have people under their control, under their supervision and guardianship. They have to go and provide for them. Yeah, but at the same time, they shouldn't be respected in any place they go. But because the evil consequence of zina on a sister is worse than it on a brother, and that's why he can go out. Because trust me, within a short period of time, usually people forget. Yeah, unless when you see the circumstances comes and then they remember, this one used to be doing this and that. But a sister will never be cleansed. If the community knows, whether she repents, she does repent, they will keep on seeing this. And whenever it comes, she comes, and people remember that one. Yeah. Because they are one of the most valuable, you know, entities in our communities. You Allah. Anything that affects the honor of a woman is very sensitive. That's why somebody says, you can see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to preserve the honor of the sisters. He says, when one of it is affected, there is no way for you to fix it except if you do the iraqah to them. Yeah. That person has to go. We throw stone on him until death. Yeah. We throw stone on him until death. So that's how Islam is very serious on this matter. So as I was saying, usually it happens in this way. After whatever happens, the one who will be humiliated, even by the criminals themselves, was the woman. Yeah. That's why those who study in the university should be very careful. Because this happens in the universities a lot. Yeah. Especially those places where there is no supervision. Yeah. We have heard a lot, and these are true stories. They've heard a lot, and these are true stories. A person will be corrupting a girl. She's there, not using her proper aql, submitting herself to the wolf and evil ones. And then later on, when it comes to marriage, Allah, you try to convince him to marry her, he will say no. No matter how much you try, he will say no. Why didn't you marry? You have been with her for ages. Yeah, I know who she is. I will never agree with somebody that I cannot trust. Allah. So we have a lot to share in this regard, but our message to every sister is to be very careful. Put a strong barrier between you and a man, unless if it is necessary, unless if this is part of the maharim. And be honest to yourself and understand that you have something that is very valuable. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of restriction for a person to reach it. He has to go through a lot of process. Allah, that shows value. That shows value, you know. Whether they accept or they don't accept it, but that's how it is. That shows value. Because naturally, this is what we are. Something that has value will put a lot of protections. Yeah, we take care of it. You have gold. Where do you keep it? In your office? Never. You keep your gold in the sitting room? Never. In the guest room? Never. In your car? Never. You go and put it in the boxes and put it in the room, even in the bedroom, you know, you have a safe for that. But put it in that place and hide it. There is no comparison between our sisters and gold. If you say a sister is better than gold, are you respecting her? Yes, right? Adam, you should bring stick and hit Mazin, you know. No, you're not. Allah, you're not. If you say a sister is better than a gold, you're not respecting. This is just like saying, like the saying of a poet, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ السَّيْفَ يَنْقُصُ قَدُرُهُ إِذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ السَّيْفَ أَمْضَى مِنَ الْعَصَى. You have a sword, Mazin. And then I told you, oh Allah, your sword is very sharp. It's sharper than the stick. Am I respecting the sword? or I go to the king. I told him, sir, well, I have did my research and I did everything possible in this research. And now I managed to confirm that you're better than a donkey. Aren't you respecting him? Yeah, your days will be numbered, right? Yeah. So this is not, you know, to make somebody happy, but this is the reality. Yeah, this is the reality. No room of comparison between this. When we mention this, we're just telling you that usually, naturally in our life, when something has value, you have to face a lot of, processes, you know, and procedures for you to reach that thing. But unfortunately, that value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave our sisters, do they want it nowadays? No. They sold it with shallow things which doesn't bring anything to them except failure in life. And they don't want to understand. So please spread this message to anyone that you know, being open, you know, to any, you know, wolf and fox, you know, an animal that come in the form of sheep, but in reality they are the enemies of the sisters. It is not a joke. It is a very serious matter. When your honor is gone, it cannot be returned back. Iwallah. There is no way for it to come back. So preserve your honor by keeping that barrier which was kept by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't take it lightly. And don't apologize to anyone. Yeah, don't apologize. No need to apologize to anyone because you don't harm anyone. This is you. You live in a life where everyone says we have a freedom, right? Why can't she? Why can't I? Why can't everyone observe his freedom? As long as we are not harming others. Yeah. When you practice Islam, you're not harming others, actually benefiting that person. So worry about somebody. Don't worry about what anyone is going to say. Just worry about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال ولا نسبة بين مفسرة هذا الأمر العظيم ومفسرة الفاحشة. So he says there is no room of comparison between the mafsara of the fahisha and the mafsara of this, because this one is shirk and that one is a major sin. And you know that shirk and major sin, the gap between them is too big. وكان بعض الشيوخ من العارفين يقول لأن أبتلى بالفاحشة مع تلك الصورة أحب إلي من أن أبتلى فيها بعشق يتعبد لها قلبي وإشكره عن الله سبحان الله. He says one of the mashayikh, you know, one of the mashayikh or one of the old people, yeah, people who عارفين هنا is not the عارف اللي تصوف, inshallah, he meant zuhad. Okay, those people who are living that kind of ascetic life. He says, لأن أبتلى بالفاحشة مع تلك الصورة أحب إلي من أن أبتلى بها من أبتلى فيها بعشق يتعبد لها قلبي وشغل عن الله. He says it's better for me. He says to commit فاحشة with that surah, that image, meaning that person, to commit فاحشة with that person, it's much easier for me than being tested by that strong fake, evil love that reached the level of ibadah to the mashruq. My heart is worshipping that and become busy with it, and Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't reflect upon Allah, always thinking about the mashruq. You understand the reason why he's saying this, right? Yeah, because he said, Leshk, if it reached the level of shirk, this is shirk. Allah doesn't forgive this one. But zina, if a person repent, does Allah forgive? Yes. Yeah. If you repent and he stop committing zina, Allah forgive. He is not saying this to tell us that zina is very light. No. He's just telling you that if I have to be to take one of the two options, I will choose that one. I will not choose the other one. قال فصل دواء هذا الداء القتال. So now Ibn Qayyim says, what is the remedy, the medicine for this الداء القتال؟ قال ودواء هذا الداء القتال أن يعرف أن مبتلي به من هذا الداء المضاد للتوحيد إنما هو من جهله من جهله وغفلة قلبه عن الله، عليه أن يعرف توحيد ربه وسنته وآياته أولا، ثم يأتي من العبادات الظاهرة والباطنة بما يشغل قلبه عن دوام الفكرة فيه، ويكثر اللجأ والتضرع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى في صرف ذلك عنه، وأن يرجع بقلبه إليه. وليس له داء أنفع من الإخلاص لله، وهو الدواء الذي ذكره الله عز وجل في كتابه حيث قال: كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه كان من المخلصين. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if you understand what we mentioned, you should know that the medicine and the only medicine for this evil disease, and he says, first of all, you have to know before the medicine, you have to know that this test that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this nature, it is affecting a person because of the weakness in the tawheed. Min jahlihi wa ghaflati qalbihi an illah. Because of his ignorance and also ghaflati qalbihi an illah. His heart is heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So two things: negligence, heedlessness, and also the jahl, ignorance. فعليه أن يعرف توحيد ربه. So the first medicine he has is tawheed. He has to understand the tawheed properly. He has to study the tawheed and understand the tawheed. فعليه أن يعرف توحيد ربه وسنته. And the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وسننه وآياته أولا. He has to understand the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this kawn. And the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this kawn. You know, first, so tawheed and the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this kawn. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ الظَّاهِرَةِ وَالْبَاطِنَةِ بِمَا يَشْغَلُ قَلْبَهُ عَنْ دَوَامِ الْفِكْرَةِ فِيهِ. The next stage is to be busy with ibadat. Whatever ibadah he can afford, he should be busy with it. In the way it will make his heart busy. You know, busy from that ishq. Yeah, because if you become free, you know, you don't have something to do, of course these thoughts will keep on coming. These thoughts will keep on coming. That's why it's very dangerous for a person to remain empty without doing something. So first is tawheed. And then secondly, al-ishtighal bi ta'at. The first one is tawheed, and the second one is al-ishtighal bi ta'at, getting busy with righteousness. And then وَيُكْثِرُ اللَّجَأَ وَالتَّضَرُّعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي صَرْفِ ذَلِكَ عَنْهُ. And he should always go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be humble to Allah. Always go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him to remove this thing from his heart. Allah, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can delete it. And those images, once they get into the heart, it's not easy for them to be removed. That's why those who don't want to stop, you know, until the time they dominated the heart, when they marry, what happens? His wife will suffer. If the one who is busy with this is a woman, the husband will suffer. And trust me, we have both situations. Husband is complaining that his wife cannot stay away from these images. And wife is complaining that the husband cannot stay away from these images. And unfortunately, sometimes the problem is he doesn't find marriage interesting. Yeah, he will not. Yeah, he will not find the marriage interesting because he restricts himself to one person. Right? He used to have those images, a lot of them, hundreds, thousands of them, but now he's going to restrict himself to this. And especially if also it coincides with the dumbness of the partner. Yeah, because when somebody is suffering from this disease, what can help this disease to be gone is the partner is smart, is doing everything possible to make sure that they keep them in the house. They make everything necessary to help them to delete the images. No, but they don't. She's looking for her right, you know, so-called right, which is not right. And he is also looking for his so-called right, which is not right. Everyone is arrogant, you know. He's arrogant, she's arrogant. She has to, he has to, you know. At the end of the day, no proper cooperation amongst them. So the only partner she has at home is those things, right? And the only partner he has this one, because what he wants from her, he doesn't get it. Yeah, we have to be very careful. These things, they look simple, but you can relate them, you know, you can relate the, the facade we have in marriages nowadays to these type of things. Lack of satisfaction from the spouse, right? From the spouse. So the wife should help, the husband should help. You Allah, and you're trying to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, student of knowledge, because you have students of knowledge who are involved in this. Waliyadhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salam wa ta'ala afiyah. So the best is when a person knows this, the only remedy he has is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawheed, and also intensify the amount of the ta'at he does. Yeah? Many sisters are complaining, right? They don't have a partner at home, right? But why the complaint comes? Because too much empty in life. Yeah, you will lie, too much empty in her life. When the husband goes out, sleeps, she cannot sleep the whole day. You know, she has to wake up and find nobody in the house except her. Yeah. However, we have a lot of things in the house. If she cancels the maid, and also understand that this is my responsibility to contribute to the family life, you know, all of those other activities she does, then they are more than enough to make her busy. More than enough to make her busy. And some are married to the student of knowledge. The house has a lot of books, you know. You Allah, she has better opportunity than him. You know, I always say that a sister has no excuse if she read Quran, if she memorize Quran, and she read Quran in with mistakes. Get it? Yeah. And I still believe in that, because she should have more time if she uses the time properly than the husband. Yeah. By the time she is at home, he cannot go to the office, you know, doing the job, and then meeting others and reading Quran while he's doing the. Yeah. The company will fire him. You need to focus, right? But she, whatever she's doing, is a good time for the revision. Yeah. She can read every 2 days the whole Quran if she wish. But why the complaint that the husband is going out and she doesn't have anyone with her at home? Yeah, because she doesn't utilize her time properly. In the past, this complaint was not there. Yeah, because we adopt a life which shouldn't be ours. That's why we get into trouble. Yeah. And we devise a system which is bringing nothing except harm to the family. Yeah. At the end of the day, she has to go on and work. Husband also, sometimes some of the husband also, the condition is she has to work. Why? Because he believes that if she stays at home, she'll be depressed. Right. So it's halal, just like the way it is halal for the brothers also to work if the place is conducive for any one of them. But to take this, and also to neglect the reality and the real job that Allah SWT put on her shoulder, this is really not good for the ummah. As one of our scholars said, what is happening to the ummah nowadays is simply because somebody is not doing their job, getting busy with something which is not necessary, and they don't become happy. Yeah. Yeah, just go and work in the job industries and see. Is it a place of happiness or a place of sadness and depression? You rarely find a place which you have family life in that place. I'm talking about working environment. In many places, it's unhealthy. You Allah, it doesn't fit anyone. Unless if you don't have any choice. So I come back to the remedy. Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-amal al-salih. Busy with the amal al-salih. And also, I add this, which Ibn Qayyim did not mention, the strong support from both spouses. You know, they should be really cooperative with the other one. Understand that, yes, I have to do everything to keep them here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَةُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَطْمِسْهُنَّ إِنْتُمْ قَبْلَهُمْ مَلَجَانٍ. It's talking about the sisters in paradise. Somebody, Ibn Abdul Qawi, if you remember when we are learning that book that you forgot, he was talking about who to marry. Is it Qasiratu Al-Fadhin? Akmil? Qasiratu Baytiha? Okay, Mazin, I excuse you because you are not born at that time. Qasiratu Al-Fadhin, Qasiratu Baytiha, Qasiratu Tarfi Al-Aini, and Kulli Ab'adi. Why the focus is in the sisters? Because the brother side is the one that is mostly getting into trouble. This type of diseases, you know, if you delete our time, it's rarely to be found in the sisters, but it's always found in the brothers. But now, both are almost equal, waliyadu billah. So the strong cooperation between both, inshallah, will help. And getting busy with the ibadat, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will help. And going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him to support that person to remove the disease from the heart will help, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal. And Ibn Qayyim says, وَلَيْسَ لَهُ دَوَاءٌ أَنْفَعْ مِنَ الْإِخْلَاصِ. There is no medicine for this evil disease that is better and more beneficial than ikhlas. Yeah, iwallah. Ikhlasu lillah, being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the best medicine you have for this disease. وَهُوَ الدَّوَاءُ الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كِتَابِهِ. And this is the medicine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned only in His book for this disease. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the same way you see us, you know, protecting him, we did that because he deserves, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخَلْصِينَ. We took away the fahisha. Allah says, we did. We took it away from him. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Because he's amongst the mukhlasin, people of ikhlas. Selected people who observe ikhlas, and as such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him for his protection. And as we always mention, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we get in, we step in to protect him. Yeah. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Because he is one of the people of ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So I will summarize the medicine again. Idhillahi ta'ala, tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-amal al-salih, and also going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, asking Him to remove the thing from the heart. Ibn Qayyim says, collectively we learn that ikhlas to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best and the most effective medicine to remove this disease. And I added one, which is the cooperation between the spouses, right? Wife should help the husband. Husband should help the wife. Not to have suspicious, having doubts that my partner is doing this and that. No. And not to go and look for it. Yeah, because sometimes they look and they go and check their phones and then they see what they don't like. Yeah, we have a lot of complaints from the other partner. Yeah, when she sees what she doesn't like. And she shouldn't like it, actually. She will see the ma'asi he is committed, the balance of those ma'asi in the phone. And then it will become a big issue. And the first mistake she did was tatabbu awrat zawjiha. And the first mistake he did is tatabbu awrat zawjati. Yeah. So people will go and check the phone of his wife to see what is she doing. Maybe she has, Iwallah. This is very dangerous and very wrong. And it's not even halal for him to do that. It's not even halal for him to do that. To go for her privacy, looking for her weaknesses and the sin she is committing, is not halal for him to do that. She also is not halal for her to do that. That's why in most instances, they always get into trouble. Whoever did that, get into trouble. Yeah. That's the jaza. Although what he's doing is sin, but this is not the way. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it hidden from our eyes, we're not supposed to go and check it. But our job is to make sure that things like this don't exist. Right? How to do that? Live a good life with the partner. Live a good life with the partner. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, his eyes will be restricted in the house. And her eyes also will be restricted in the house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Can you please repeat? So if a man dishonors a woman, a Muslim woman, he is to be put to death?
If that person already married before, this is what we call muhsan. He married before, or to be more accurate, he had a sexual relationship in a legal marriage. That relationship has to be in a legal marriage. If let's say he commits zina before, he doesn't become a muhsan. He married a wrong marriage, haram marriage, like nikah al-mut'ah, or nikah al-shigar, or any other marriage that is haram Islamically, he does not become a muhsan. But if he married a legal marriage, which is halal Islamically, and he has a relationship with the spouse in that marriage, if he is to commit zina in the... Okay, in this one, rahimahullah. No problem, I can shout, inshallah. If he's to commit zina after that, then he should be stoned till death. No compromise. He has to leave this life. Yeah. But if he did not, marry before, never married. In this case, when he commits zina with a person, then we beat him 100 lashes and send him to exile for. We take him to jail in our time, just take him to jail. The best is to send him to another jail, not in his city. Another place, and send him to that place for 1 year. He cannot come back to the city until after 1 year. Yeah. Then he comes back. Yeah. So this is how it is. Not all of them will be killed. Only the one who is muhsan, who had relationship with a legal marriage, then he should be stoned to death. And this marriage might not be there. It doesn't matter. Let's say he married, the next day after having a relationship with the spouse, he divorced her. He is muhsan. If he commits zina the day number three, he will be stoned till death. Although there is no marriage. Or in the case of somebody who leaves his wife in another country, and he lives in another country, and he commits zina in that country, he also has to be stoned till death. It is not necessary that the spouse should be in the same place.
Sure. Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Yusuf.
If there is no four witnesses, mm-hmm. but the body, four witnesses is a condition for the hajj. Without four witnesses, there can be a hajj.
No, there can be a hajj.
But if the qadi,
that's fix that information first.
Yeah.
Zina is established according to the best opinion in three ways. Majority of the scholars said only two. But according to the best opinion, three. Three ways. Witnesses, the shahada, as al-bayyina, kama jaa fi hadith Umar fi Sahih Bukhari, al-bayyina, aw i'tiraf, confession, the sayyid al-adillah, actually better than the bayyina, because four people can cooperate and come and lie. But this one is confession. He confessed. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to be beaten 100 times, but he still says he did. So confession, Sayyidul Adillah. Ida kana i'tiraf, that's why the vast majority of the hadood in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all based on, actually all of them, confession. Even the hadith of Unais, Asif, she, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the punishment, he said, ask her first. There was a claim against you that you committed zina with the boy. Is it true? قَالَ فَإِنْ اِعْتَرَفَتْ فَرْجُمَهَا. If she confessed, then you stone her to death. Whether this confession we need four times or we don't need four times, is the long debate among the scholars, which the best opinion says, we don't need four times, we need only once. Unless if the imam, the qadi, has doubt in that person. He wanted to commit suicide. But he wants to do it legally. So he went and he told them that he committed zina and he married before. He doesn't want to live. Yeah. So the judge has to verify a lot to make sure that, yes, this person is okay. He knows what he does. Or he suspects him to be Majnun. He has to verify before they stone him till death. The last way to establish had is what Umar said, Aukan Ham, pregnancy out of wedlock. Because what explanation you give if a person comes, we never know how to be married. She brought a child. Nobody knows that she has a, and she also says she doesn't have a husband. How does she have a child? How? So the only way for her to go out of this is when she claimed rape. If she said, this is what happened to me, even if it is too far to believe, we just have to cancel that. Because the possibility of that to be true is always there. And whenever shubha exists, had has to be eliminated, no matter how much small is that shubha. Because when you execute the had, you cannot fix it. Maybe you kill her. Then later on, you realize that, no, actually, we are wrong. How to fix that?
Cannot.
Yeah, you're paying diya to who? Not to her, to them. Even if you pay diya, you cannot pay the diya to the soul. You know. So that's why they said, it is always better for you to be wrong in forgiveness than being wrong in carrying out the had. It's better to be wrong in forgiveness than being wrong in doing the had. Because if you cut off his hand, how do you fix that? Yeah, that's why they all agree, by consensus of the scholars, أن الحدود تدرع بالشبهات. Yeah. In the hadith, يدرع الحدود بالشبهات, but that hadith is weak, but there is a consensus of all the scholars that if shubha exists, had cannot be inflicted. So there are three ways to establish had of the zina. Either, what do you call it? Witnesses, and they have to be honest, they have to be trustworthy, and they have to mention what constitutes zina. That's why it never happened. Because they have to mention that they see the organ of this person inside the organ of this person. They must mention like this. Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani in Ar-Risala, he says, kal mirwad fil mikhala. You know mirwad? You know mikhala, right? That's the container of the eyeliner, the kohol. Yeah, you know there's some stick, right? The stick that we do that, the stick inside. He has to mention this. He cannot just say, no, I see them hugging each other. No, I see them in one blanket. And the position I see them, there is no way for them to not be committing zina. We tell them, no, this is not enough. Either you withdraw or we beat you 80 lashes. Yeah, we have to be very serious on that. So they have to mention, and all of them have to mention the same thing. If three of them mention, one of them refuse, the case of zina cannot be established. In time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when Abu Bakr and two other brothers, they claim that Mughira ibn Shu'bah committed zina. This is the riwayah that Shia is still holding upon, up to date. Yeah, they said he committed zina. And they promote this. You know. They said, really, they witness him committing zina. Umar worried so much because if this happened in the companions, then people will criticize the companions. You know, the trust people have in the companions will be gone. Umar worried so much. And they said he is making dua, Ya Allah, don't let this happen. Don't let this succeed. The two friends of Abu Bakr, they withdraw. They said, no. See him committing what constitutes zina, we are not sure. Seeing them in bond blanket, yeah, that one we sure. But are they doing the zina or not? We're not sure. Abu Bakr said no. He will not withdraw. Umar said, just withdraw. I will not beat you. If you withdraw, he said no. And Umar beat him 80 times. So then it added to the riwayah of the Shia. He beat Abu Bakr 80 lashes. And Abu Bakr is the companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar is bad. Umar is this, this, and that. Yeah. Abu Bakr refused to agree. He said he saw them. And subhanAllah, you know, reading and seeking knowledge is always good. You know, you go deeper, you go deeper, you go deeper. You're going to come across some of the narration that will clarify everything. Yeah. So I go into the scholars, studying under the scholars, make life very easy for you. Sheikh Nasser was making a comparison between him and Ibn Taymiyyah. He says, Ibn Taymiyyah is a product of the scholars. That's why his knowledge is like, why? because coming to the majalis will make life easy for you. Trust me, you will go through maybe 10 books for you to get what you get in the class. Because usually in the class, the knowledge and the information that comes, it is not supposed to be forgotten. Especially when you revise it. You just need a little bit of revision, you know, before it takes too long. And then it will get stuck in your brain. So we got in some part of the narration of the story, and that actually they misunderstood. Yeah, that was his office. He in the office. He made a mistake, and that mistake caused him a lot. Right? They confirmed that, yes, there was a case like that, but that was his wife. Confirmed. His wife visited him. They slept together, and somebody visited them at that time. Found them like this. Yeah. I love this story so much because we have offices nowadays. A family visits you in those offices. A person should understand that this is an office. Yeah. And sometimes the company doesn't tell you, but they have
cameras.
Yeah. In the office. They don't tell you, but they are. And then you go with your family. Who knows that this is your wife? Who knows? And the same time also, why do we have house and home? If a person is going to do what he does with his wife out of the house, why do we have houses? His behavior is not ours, it's the behavior of the Western community. Yeah. It's Hishma is there. So that was a mistake that happens and it caused him a lot. Umar was very happy when those three witnesses say no. We don't want to confirm that he commits sin. And he beat Abu Bakr according to what the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because Rasulullah subhanahu said, provide evidences. Al-bayyina wa illa haddun fi dhahrik. Either you provide evidence or we beat you. So he did. So that's number one, testimony. Number two is a confession. And the last one is pregnancy out of wedlock, if there is no shubha and claim from the sister that she... In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they brought a sister, she had a child, and nobody knows how to be married. Yeah, and she had a child. Nobody knows how to be married. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to establish the hajj on her. She said, no, this is what happened. She narrated her case. She said she was sleeping in the farm. She was sleeping in the farm. She said she just woke up because of the strong pain. And she found the man was running away, committed zina and ran away with her. She just woke up and found this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, because this is a claim, and also how much deep is this sleep she is doing. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, who is she in the community? They said she's a very decent and good person. He removed the punishment. He waived the punishment. That's why the scholar said, when it comes to pregnancy out of wedlock, if she claims that this is what happened, we just take. Yeah. Although sometimes it might be too far, but we just take. Because she might be truthful, right? She might be saying the truth. And Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Yeah.
So the thing is, if the qadi, these three things are not existing, but then the qadi, he can tell. He knows that it's zina. But there is no...
That's confession. A very long debate, you know.
So can he make
the confession? You have to go and do another degree in the Faculty of Law. they have this. Al-hukm bi shahadatin qadi. Qadi, the judge himself, can he be the witness or not? It's a long debate among the scholars. Yeah. It should be the strongest evidence because qadi should be honest. But unfortunately, we are not supposed to trust this evidence because he has to be biased. You get it? Qadi has to be biased. Have to listen and judge based on what is presented to him by the two parties.
Even if he...
Yeah, he knows. He knows who is it. Yeah. So sometimes what he does, and this is the best way actually, to do everything possible to trick the criminal, to put him in a corner in the way he has to confess. not acting on behalf of that person, but doing anything possible to put him in a corner in the way he has to say the truth. You see this in the judgment of many qubat, in the past. Yes, Ibn Muawiyah, Qadi Iyas, is one of the famous judges, which you will enjoy reading his ahkam. He does this. When he knows something to be wrong and he has the facts about this, he pushed that person slowly, slowly, until the time the person comes and confess. That is always a way out. But there are some who say Shahid al-Qadi, Qadi can be Shahid. Because he knows what exactly happened.
Jazakallah khairan.
Allahumma ameen.
Three questions. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Question by a brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
I have a homestay villa and it's usually for families to stay. However, there are people asking for rent for shooting a movie. Is this permissible?
I know. Well, whoever wants to rent your place and you know that they are going to do haram thing, you are not allowed to rent it to them. You'll be partner in that scene.
When breaking two or more oaths or promises with Allah at the same time, do I need to do three fasts for each promise, or is three sufficient?
It depends on the promise. If these are two different promises, then every one of them carries a kafara. But if it is one promise, you broke it twice at once before the kafara, then you do only one kafara. He broke the promise. Before he did the kafara, he broke it again. He broke again. Only one kafara. But if these are two different promises, he promised this person, he promised that person, and he broke this one, and he broke this one. He has to do kafara according to the number of the promises.
Next question.
How do we differentiate ishq causing to shirk and major sin due to inability to control nafs?
No, whatever comes which you can't control, you're not going to be judged based on that. But to reach the level of you loving that person more than Allah, that one is controllable, something that you can control. How can you convince us that you cannot control yourself when you're committing shirk? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Somebody's favoring the love of somebody over the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that cannot be accepted. It is not part of something that you cannot control. The thought that comes to the heart, we cannot control. But the effects and the action, you know, that follows this one is something that you can control. Yeah. So if you reach the situation whereby we favor them over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's shirk. And we'll be judged based on that.
So Sheikh, for a newlywed couple,
normally they'll have more affection towards his spouses.
I know that's very normal.
Right? So
he tells her good words, she tells him good words. It's all the early days of marriages, you know, they hear all of these things. And then afterwards, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. When he comes back, she tells him so early, why now? that's just that they build up their life on the shallow thing, you know. Yeah, it shouldn't happen. Somebody asked me a question that they need to stay far away from the spouse so that the love should be maintained. I don't know what kind of thinking is this. Yeah. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant is good and tawfiq. Any last question?
Can we understand ishq to only be something negative, meaning it can never be positive and a person shouldn't use it to describe loving Allah or any other person?
The negative one is the one that takes a person away from Allah. If the love takes a person away from Allah, or you are willing to stay away from the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to compromise the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the right or the interest of that person that you love, this is the haram. As for having strong love to your spouse, this one is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Very strong love. That doesn't take a person away from Allah. As long as this doesn't make him blind in the way, whatever they want, he listens. even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. No, He loves them so much. But at the same time, they cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of Him, and He tolerates that. That's okay love. That's the correct one. Yeah, that's a halal one, and that's the best love. Done? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.